And I'm Donnie, and tonight I'm going to just say it like I've done it for almost 13 years now. I get up, dress up, and show up to prayer. And what I noticed in this circle tonight was a really good mix of what works. The heavy side of it was prayer. The power in acknowledging Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. What's your hurts, what's your habits, what's your hang-ups? Jesus is there to listen to you. He is there not to chastise you, but to give you a hand up every single morning. Give you a hand up, send you out that exit, which I've said before is really an entrance into the world. What are you going to do when you go outside that door? That's what makes the difference for me. And with that, let's invite the Spirit back in here. Amen? So let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, Lord, that I step away. And that, Lord, that we realize this is nothing about our own flesh, Lord, but it's the Spirit of God in us. It's through you, Father God, that we make the difference, and you make the difference through our obedience to acknowledge you. So, Holy Spirit, I just ask for your words. I pray that there's that one in this room tonight, Lord, that makes a difference for them, to them make a difference with you. So, Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. And together all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, so I'm an ex-con. I'll tell you that right now. So some of you that don't know my story, I did 12 and a half years in the penitentiary. So I had a lot of downtime, you could so to speak. My last time in front of the judge, I was facing 104 years to life. Never understood the life part. I thought 104 years was pretty good. But God entered the courtroom on my sentencing day, and I ended up getting what they call mandatory minimum sentencing of 4 years. That was in 97. So I spent 2 years dissecting this word of God. I spent 2 years understanding what this really meant, because see, if God just removed 100 years off of my sentence, I knew that I had to make a choice. I had a choice to either keep doing what I was doing or make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. But if I didn't understand him, how could I turn it over to him? So I had to learn who he really was. Amen? Amen. So my deal is, God does a lot of talking from a boat. God does a lot of traveling in a boat. Sometimes we're out in the boat and we have the storm of the seas throwing, and it's a turmoil and stuff. But see, God even walked across the water in those storms to calm the seas. So God, in 43 times in the Word of God, God's talking about a boat. I think it's got some significance. See, God got so loved on when he got to the shore, people knew the miracles he was doing. God knew, or the people knew, what the hand of Jesus could do to heal, to sanctify, to set free. So they would come, man, they'd get on the shore, and they were hanging out, watching him come in off the boat. Jesus coming in off the boat. So Jesus, okay, if you want to follow me on your Bible, that's fine. If not, it'll be on whatever this thing is attached to me. It's some electric shock treatment or something, I don't know. Okay, Matthew 5, verse 21. Jesus got into the boat again. And he went back to the other side of the lake. Now check this out. Where a large crowd had gathered. That seems to be every time he gets in that boat. Where a large crowd was gathered around him on the shore. Now, then there's a leader. Okay. Of a local synagogue whose name was Jairus. He arrived because he knew Jesus was coming there. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Now that's a leader. All these people that are crowded around him right now look up to this Jairus dude because he's the leader of the synagogue. So everybody that's watching right there, watch this dude just fall down in front of Jesus and start worshiping. What do you think your mindset would be if your leader knew how much power this guy named Jesus had and he just fell at his feet? You'd be like, okay, this dude must be about something. That's how I'd look at it. I'd be like, okay, Marvin just fell down at his feet. There must be something here. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying. He said, please come and lay your hands on her, heal her, so she can live. Dude, I'm a daddy of three girls. They're my babies, dude. They're my daughters. For us men and women in this room, you know when you use the word daughter, that's got impact. That's your baby. Yard down, you mess with my girls. They my babies. You guys that have daughters, you know what I mean. They are given to us by Jesus for us to protect until we walk them down the aisle and give them to another man to take care of them. Amen? Amen. If I don't get amen, they'll be here till 10. Amen? Amen. 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 I love that part. They're like, oh, Lori. Jesus went, okay. My little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live. This dude had trust in Jesus. Where's your trust? Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. Now, I see Jesus like, you know, like everybody like Jesus, like, okay, go on, man. And everybody's like wanting a part of him, and they're just in awe, and they're just wanting to touch him, and they're just wanting to be a part of him. So everybody's around him. Can't breathe. It's just everybody's crowded around him. That's how I picture it. A woman in the crowd. Check this out, how you women are. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. Did I tell you I have three daughters? Once a month, I want to go on vacation. Now, can you imagine all three of them being like that for 12 years? Woo! I'll tell you right now, it's rough. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. Now, check this out. This is where us addicts are. She, or me, had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. And I say it like this. How many times did you go to rehab? How many times did you go to the county jail? How many times did you go to the parole department and get your hand slapped again? How many times have you just kept paying that money for the methadone or the Suboxone or the stupidity? We spent some money on that stuff. I went to rehab more times before we got habbed. The judges said, you're going to a treatment center. I spent money at that treatment center and he told me to go. But it didn't do nothing. This lady was in the same type of bind. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. And right there when I read that, I thought, man, when I went to the halfway house, I found the better dope dealers in the halfway house than before I went to the halfway house. When I went to prison, I learned how to make better meth than I had meth before I went in there. Can I get an amen? Amen. In fact, she had gotten worse. Okay, so check this out. She had heard about Jesus. She had heard about Jesus. Have you heard about Jesus? Have you heard about Jesus? So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. Now, come on, man. There got to be a lot of people there, and she's just weaving and bobbing, circling up in there, dude. And she gets close enough, she sees that, and she, I don't think she just touched it. I think she grabbed him. Grab that cloth. Are you grabbing the cloth? Are you really wanting healed enough that you're grabbing the robe so that he knows? Or you just, I kind of want recovery. Oh, I kind of want my family back. Oh, dude, reach out and get the cloth. Grab him. In fact, she had gotten worse. How much worse do you want to be? So she came up through the crowd and touched his robe. I can spit on my own Bible, it's mine. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Now, why would she think that? Here's my thought. She had faith. She heard of the miracles this dude was doing on all those boat rides. She knew what this dude was doing. And she knew he was healing people. And in her mind, she's no different than us that have faith in Jesus Christ that he can heal us. Listen, look at this brother right here. A couple months ago, this brother said he had 30, 60, 90 days, 6 months to live. He just prophesied again tonight. Doctor said something about 25, 30 years. Woo! If you ask me, God's still in the business of doing now what he was doing then. Amen? By faith. So she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Check this out. Immediately. Not tomorrow on the City Link. Not the next day after drug court. Not the next day after hope. Not the next day after parole. Not the next day after probation. Immediately. It stopped. And she could feel in her body that she had been healed of this terrible condition. She had faith. She grabbed his armor. She grabbed his coat and hung on. Because she was done. She tried all the doctors. She tried the rehabs. She tried the jail. How many of you like going to jail? Not me. I don't like it no more. Well, I do now because now they buzz me in and I walk in. Close the door myself instead of walking in. Like, you know, last words out of a cop's mouth now isn't, now watch your head, son, as he puts me in a cop car. It's thanks for coming in. And she could feel in her body that she had been healed of this terrible condition. Here you go. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. That's how much he loves each and every one of us individually. He realizes when you grab, his power is now there in you, in you, in you, in you, in you, in you, in you. And he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? All them people around this dude. And he felt the power of his healing hand go in that woman and say, who did that? Who touched me? Come on, dog. Who laid their hands on me? I can see God talking to me like that. He's like, dude, stop the party, man. I just healed somebody. I want to know who it is. I want to see him eye to eye. Have you ever looked in the mirror and seen Jesus eye to eye? He's healing you. Immediately, he's healing you. But are you looking in the mirror eye to eye for the healing and the redemption and the new life while you're shaving? Huh. Are you still nicking your face up for us men because we can't look into the eyes of the healer? His name's Jesus. His disciples said to him, look at this crowd all around you, brother. They don't say brother in here, but it's my words. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around because that's how much he wants to know you. That's how much he wants to know you and you. He kept looking around but he kept looking around to see who had done it. Now check this out. This is how some of us are. We first come to Jesus. Then the frightened woman, or man, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, because, dude, she's in shock. She'd been floating on the bloodstream for 12 years. Now she's like, woo, I'm good, I'm healed. You're good, you're healed. If you reach out and touch his garment and trust by faith that you're healed. He wouldn't, okay. Woo, face wash. Someone told me that's what that was. I was like, no, dude, I'm just reading different. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. Fall down, family. Fall down. And you don't even have to do knee mail. Just fall down. Lord, I'm a sinner. I like dope. I like porn. I like women. You fall down because, see, when you grabbed his coat, you were healed from those infirmities. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Dude, you can go in peace. Your suffering's over. My brother and I was talking outside. And one of the statements was, I hope I don't get tempted no more. Dude, blow that one out of your water. You will get tempted. Guaranteed. Satan's job is to destroy you. Satan's job is to kill you, steal from you, rob you, pervert you, destroy you. That's his job. But see, I'm not no longer employed by this loser. I'm employed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I got the Holy Ghost of fire running my life. I don't have to listen to them temptations. Remember the tools that we mentioned around this room, beginning here? Use them. Use them. A good mechanic has a roll-away stack of tools because, see, one crescent wrench is not going to change a transmission. Some of us dopers have tried it, and it don't work. Amen? You got to at least have a hammer. You have to have the appropriate tools to fight the enemy. The Word of God, right here. That's how you fight the enemy. Calling Jeremy. I go, Jeremy, I'm struggling, dog. You got a cup of coffee for me? Let's go kick it. Carl, I need you, man. Mick, got time for lunch? Marvin, Tyler, call them. But better yet, acknowledge that Satan is a liar. Acknowledge Jesus in that trauma as you're making the phone call. As you're making the call. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Okay, now check this one out. Whew, man, brother. While he was still speaking to her. Okay, check this out. Now remember, he got off the boat. And that leader, Jairus, was there like, dude, come and pray with my kid, man. She's dying. All right, so we're back to Jairus. While he was speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, hey, dude, your daughter died. What? What? Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. No, that's a lie from Satan. You never quit acknowledging the teacher. You never listen to Satan. Your sins have been cleansed. Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid. You ready? You ready? Three words. Just have faith. Woo! Woo! I was facing 104 years. Just have faith. Just have faith. Some of you dudes are ex-dopers. Just have faith. Some of you don't know where your next paycheck's coming. Just have faith. Just have faith. Don't keep listening to that voice. I call one Elmo and one Isaiah. Isaiah's my little Christian one. He goes, hey, you're doing that, blah, blah. Elmo's like, hey, flip him off. Go get another shot. You got one more high in you. No, you don't. No, you don't. Not guaranteed. Tonight, everybody in this room, I'd say 99.9% of you are totally straight. You got this one. You got this one. We're going to be burying another brother that I met on Tuesday night at a Burger King and had conversation to him eye to eye. 3 days later, he thought he had one more in him, and they found him dead at 3 o'clock in the morning on Thompson Street. Dead. Dead. Did you hear me? He thought he had one more in him. Why you want to tempt faith? Don't be afraid, just have faith. Then Jesus stopped the crowd. He said, hey, Marvin, you keep him back there, dog. Keep him back there, man. Don't let him come up here no more. Just stop that crowd right there. And wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John. They said, come on, dude. God said, come here. We got something to do over here at Jairus' house. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, that's Jairus, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. Dude, the kid's mom's bawling. She's like, my baby's dead. The auntie's like, it's okay. Ah. They're all screaming. They're all whining. They're all crying. They're all throwing themselves into the emotional turmoil. He went inside. Jesus walked up in there. I love Jesus. He got to walk like we do, dog. We've been in the joint for a long time. We got the scratch. I don't do it very good anymore. I'm old. Why all this commotion and weeping? That's Jesus' words. Ready? That child isn't dead. She's only asleep. I can't say that. But Jesus can. Jesus has the power to say, hey, dudes, calm the boat. Calm the boat. That dude just having a nap. The crowd laughed at him. But he made them all leave. Hey, you little whiners, get on up out of here because you don't have no faith. We don't need you in this room. Just get on. We don't even need you. And he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples, remember Peter, James, and John, into the room where the girl was lying. Check this out. I love this part, man. Holding her hand, he said, you ready? Little girl, get up. That's what he said. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. Check this out. I got a 13-year-old. It takes everything I can. I got to bribe her to get her up to walk around. I got to bribe her with a slushie to get her to clean the house. But see, this little girl's dead over here according to the world. To all the mom and the auntie and all them. Because see, they didn't have no faith. That's my take on it. And the girl who was 12 immediately stood up and walked around. Check this out. They were totally overwhelmed and totally amazed. Not James, Peter, and John. They knew this dude. He'd been on all them boats all over the place doing this exact same thing. And Jairus, the synagogue leader, had heard about what this dude Jesus is doing then and is doing right now in your life. Right now in your life. There is no difference. None. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened. And you ready for this one? And then he told them to give her something to eat. Are you kidding me? If Jesus is doing that in the New Testament, and he sent the Comforter to us, are you laying there with everybody around you crying the blues? He went back to prison again. He ain't never going to get it. He's in rehab again, but he didn't die. What are you laying up in there doing? What battle do you have? Anger? Hate? Resentment? Bitterness? Loss? Dude, wake up and get something to eat. And what I'm talking about is the spiritual food. Read that word. Pray with the people. How many mentors in this room right now? Raise your hand if you're a mentor in this room. Look around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 mentors in this room right now. Many of you in here could mentor me. You could mentor me. But are you reaching out before you load your Glock? are you reaching out before you cut your band off of your little house arrest and split? What are you doing to keep yourself out of the penitentiary? Go ahead and set two stacks going around that way. I'm gonna wrap it up with this. Here's what I do. I memorize scripture. How can you fight the fight if you don't know what to fight the fight with? You got to have the word in your heart. A lot of us got hard hearts and soft skin. Suck it up, buttercup. You gave the courts a roll of quarters and said, hey, I'm just going to let you keep putting one quarter in at a time, keep kicking my butt. Because you didn't hide the word in your heart. You had the hard heart and soft skin, and everything that came at you, you were like, oh, I'll just take them out. I'll just run. They ain't going to run my life. Are you kidding me? Dude, instant internet right now, they will find you anywhere. You might make it for a day, a week, a year, 2 years, but eventually you're going to want to settle down. And when you want to settle down, you're going to have this baggage behind you. You got to memorize scripture. So the first one's Hebrews 12:14-15. Make every effort to live at peace with all men to be holy. And to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Woo! I ain't that wise, but I'm getting better. My wife told me the other day to do this, kind of cracked me up. She said, you know what? We're having this conversation about something. She said, you are one of the most brutally honest men I know. Now. Are you kidding me? What you mean now? Why you throw me and kick me like a dog? Because see, she'd been with me a lot of years and all I used to do is lie to her. I'm going to get a gallon of milk. See her in about 3 days to a week. Yeah. The milk never got bought. The bread I went to get got moldy. And 9 out of 10 times, she was accepting a collect call from the Allen County or some other jail. Amen? So I told her, too. The girl's like this. I said, don't ask me how them spandex look, now that I'm brutally honest. I said, man, don't you got to have clothes over those things? Most of you girls walk around in these little, I call them nylons. They call them leggings. I'm like, are you kidding? I got 3 girls, too. Whew. It's rough. Proverbs 15:18, my favorite. A hot-tempered man, you ready? Hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. You better learn that one, family. I had to. These ones here, I live these. I live these. These are me. This is my life. You can go through the Bible and pick out whatever ones you want that you want to memorize, but these are what helps me. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You ever try to tell somebody what to do, like say, you better get this done? First thing they're going to do is tell you, read between the lines. They ain't going to do nothing you tell them to do. I tell you, I got 3 daughters, whoo! I got to either sugarcoat it and buy them a slushy, or it ain't happening. Proverbs 10:19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Why us men want to give her a piece of our mind that the only piece we got left that's any good probably shouldn't be spared to that? Man, we've fried our brains, family. Especially those dudes that done dope for a long time. But here's the deal. God restores all that. Not only restores all that, but uses your past to help a brother and sister today. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 11:12a. A man of understanding, check it out, holds his tongue. And sometimes I can see somebody. Hold on. You know, why say something to kill somebody? Why? Is it going to make you feel better? I used to be a butt. I ain't lying. I used to give my wife every single piece of my mind, dude, and tell her everything she was from the time she was born till the day I was yelling at her. I could kill a person with words. Why? Because I wanted to go get high. Because I wanted my check to go get it on the dope man. I don't care if there's any money in this house. Really? 1 Peter 3:9. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another, being sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. See, just because we have to hold our mud, God's going to reward us for that. God's going to reward us for that. James 1:19, let everyone be quick to, y'all got this in front of you right now. Be quick to
hear.
And slow to speak and slow to anger. Ephesians 4:26, I love this. I love this. This is one of my favorites. Be angry, but do not sin. See, Jesus got mad, man. There was a time he went in there and the money changer doing stuff and he said, whoop, throw that table right on over. He got angry, but he didn't sin. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. My wife and I haven't fought in years. Nope. And I found this out, ladies. This will make you feel better. She's right 99.9% of the time, like Ivory soap. I can guarantee what she's saying to me is right 99% of the time. That's growth for me. Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit is better than he who captures a city. Dudettes. And we're going to wrap it up with Ephesians 4:31, 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. I'm going to get even with you. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Check out the punchline. You ready? Just as God in Christ also forgave you. So, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that my brothers and sisters heard your word, Lord, that by faith they can reach through that crowd and grab your garment. That you, Lord, know their sins. You have forgiven their sins. And just like Jairus, Lord Jesus, we fall at your feet and ask that you raise us from the dead and allow us to walk for you today. In Jesus' name we pray. And together all God's people said, Amen. Amen.